Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It's the Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Right now I'm talking with a band called Bad Honey. They have a new EP called Help Yourself. We're going to play some songs from it. We're going to introduce the band and talk with them. This is the first time they've been on the show. We're doing this via social distancing back in the Zoom. We're on like the 25th wave of the pandemic. First off, how's it going? What's your name and what do you do in Bad Honey?
Hey, thanks for having us, Kevin. Really appreciate it. My name is Matthew. I'm the singer and the guitar player.
Yeah, I'm Chris, and I'm on the drums, and that's about it. Just the drums.
and your bassist is not with us because he just moved to Portugal recently. Is that right?
Yep.
Shout out to Nathan. He just moved to Portugal, living his life. So yeah, he's got dual citizenship. So he just made the move out there. So we're in between bass players at the moment.
All right. Well, where are you right now? Chris, let's start with you. Are you in Seattle, Tacoma? What city and what neighborhood?
Yeah, I'm up in Ballard, actually. Oh, cool. So yeah, I'm in Seattle. Yep.
And what about you, Matthew?
I'm over in the island of West Seattle.
Ah, yeah. It's kind of difficult to get over there.
Yeah, the bridge is out. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, no, I'm over in West Seattle. I used to actually live in Ballard too, moved out here recently. So, but we've been in Seattle for, oh gosh, what is it now, Chris? Like 5 years?
I think. I don't even know.
No, we came out like 20. Yeah. We're actually originally from Connecticut.
Oh, okay. And you guys moved as a band?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Chris and I moved out together. Yeah,
the two of us moved. We had done a little cover thing before, so the bass player stayed behind, but we had moved out with the intention of, you know, starting and doing something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Connecticut, you guys, I'm assuming kind of, we'll get into the backstory of everything, but my question is like, what brought you to Seattle of all places?
Well, I think I went to school for acting, and one of my really good friends, Kayla, was living out here, and she kind of just like, she's originally kind of, well, not from here, but she lived out here growing up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, you got to come out. Like, it's really awesome. And we came out and visited, and we were looking to move somewhere. And like, you know, obviously Seattle is a music town and, mm-hmm. you know, a cool city. So we, you know, we came and visited in September, and it was like the most beautiful days I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I was like, this is awesome. This is Seattle. And then we were just like, and it just worked out perfectly because she had an opening in her apartment, and just like a really smooth kind of moving transition, especially for across the country. You know, like if anyone's ever moved across country, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was good to have a friend already out here and stuff. So that was huge.
Yeah, it was an easy transition for us.
So you must have come to Seattle on one of the 15 beautiful days of the year.
Yeah.
It was like September, like mid-September of 2015. And it was just, yeah, it was beautiful. And then when we moved out here, it was like end of September 2016, like a year later. And then October 1st hit and it literally rained every day.
Yeah. Still,
I don't know, like May or...
What did I do?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is what it's like.
This is not what I remember.
Yeah. So the weather got us, which I hear is common for a lot of people.
So you guys grew up together in Connecticut, or when did you guys meet? Maybe the backstory of your friendship and your musical relationship.
Totally. Yeah. So we have a somewhat interesting story. So we met in college, went to college together, but we didn't really connect on music at all. We were roommates and didn't play music, didn't do anything in college that was music related. And like, I played guitar growing up a little bit. Chris didn't really have
much. I had a guitar.
He had a guitar. Never played it. So kind of fast forward after we get out of school, I was playing guitar and I wanted to like start kind of a little band, and I was playing with this guy, Chris, just like two of us just playing guitar. And I was like, you know what would be awesome is if we had some percussion, of course, like that would be sweet. So I bought a cajon and was like, you know who would be good at playing a cajon is Chris, even though he has zero experience playing music at all.
Yeah.
He picked it up. We played a couple like little like open mics with it. They like put a mic in the back of the cajon and we're like, yeah, this sounds awesome.
Great.
And a couple, you know, we did that for a little bit, like a month or so later. I'm like, you got to buy a drum set. Like so much better.
Yeah.
So we like found this drum set on Craigslist from a local 12-year-old that was selling it. And we showed up to this place. We knew nothing about drum. We don't know anything about drum sets at that time. And we go over and they're like showing us, and Chris has never played drums in his life before. And we go, and I'm like, we'll take it, pay the man, Chris. And so we got like code a drum set for like, what was it, like $300 or something at the time?
Yeah, he didn't even try and talk him down. I didn't even sold have, in yeah. record time.
I thought it was a good deal. I was like, we get a full set. Like, we didn't know. I mean, looking back, I think it was, we kind of got out a little bit. And then
I didn't know what I was looking at the time.
That 12-year-old is like, sweet, $300.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came out large. But and then like 2 weeks later, we played our first show. Like after it was literally 2 weeks.
It definitely helped. We'd been doing the cajon thing for like 2 months. So I had the basics of rhythm maybe. So that helped a little bit. But yeah. Yeah.
Dude, we just jump into the deep end, man.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what we were thinking, honestly. our ignorance was kind of an asset at the time, I suppose. But like, we went out and did it, and it was like, and people like didn't even know we played. They thought we were doing like a comedy thing. Like, they came out to the show, like, oh, this. I thought this was going to be a joke, and it was like, they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
It was all nice. Friends from high school and college, like in our hometowns. Like, come, this pressure. But yeah, oh my god, I would never do that. Like, I wouldn't do that again.
You didn't even know you could tune the drums. Like,
I remember finding out a few days before, like, you tune these? That's what those knobs are for.
If you were to watch back a video of this show, would you cringe?
Which one of them?
Me? Oh, yeah. But we got through it. We got paid. Someone paid us to do it.
Oh, so you paid on your first show?
That's all I can ask for.
There you go.
Yeah, the first time we got paid, we like looked at each other like, holy, like we felt like we got away with something. Like,
yeah.
We're like, I can't believe they paid. Like, they have no idea. We have no idea.
They paid for this?
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. That's crazy. So what year was that, your first show?
Oh, gosh. That was probably
2014?
No.
Right? Yeah. 13?
Oh, no.
13 or 14?
Like 14. I think we were in 15. Well, it's 2014. And then, yeah, it was like end of 2014, like the fall, I think, was the first show. And then I went to New Zealand.
Okay.
I went to New Zealand for a bit. Right. And then I came back 2015. And then we started playing more shows after that.
And we kind of did that thing for a year, just cover stuff, and then moved out here.
And then when did Bad Honey officially start with the name?
We were Bad Honey.
Oh, you were
in Connecticut as a cover band, but we had like a different bass player. Obviously, he didn't move out with us, so we kept the name. And then, but I would say like officially, kind of getting it going because we
released
our first EP out here was January 2019 is when we released our first 4-song EP, and that was really supposed to be a demo that kind of turned more into an EP, kind of, you know, higher production piece. And that was all recorded at London Bridge, just like our recent EP as well. Which is really cool. And that was like, we were really excited about that because it was like, we just wanted some songs to, you know, get us to go play some shows. And it was really awesome.
Wanted something to show people, you know, that's all. So it was great.
Well, it's quite an iconic studio, man.
Yeah, it's amazing there. And it's been a, it's been an honor to be able to be in that space, and you can feel like the, you know, the energy there is really, it's, you know, there's a lot of history.
Mm-hmm. So when you come to Seattle and you start playing shows and whatnot and you're getting things together, in your new home, I'm curious, what was the first venue you played in Seattle?
It was Connor Byrne was our first show.
Nice. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We played, I believe it was like a Friday night at Connor Byrne. I kind of pulled a favor from someone I knew that did the booking there. I was like, hey, like I got this band and like, you know, and I know you book shows, like is there a spot for us? And like, and they hooked us up and gave us a pretty good opening spot. And it was a lot of people there. Cool. And it went really well. I mean, it wasn't our best show. You know, we got better. Right. It went well. We got a lot of, you know, good positive. We get, Chris and I always laugh because one of the things we get as feedback, and I'm sure a lot of, you know, musicians get this too, is just like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Like they're like, that was really good. Like we were like this kind of like, that was really awesome. Like they have this like shock of like, because I think, you know, local.
Wow, band. That didn't totally suck.
Yeah. And like, people, oh, you know, yeah.
Thanks. That was way better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, we're like, thanks. Yeah. But it's like very genuine, like a very genuine compliment versus totally. Like someone's like, oh, it's good, you know, because it's like, oh, they're probably being nice. But where they like have this look on their face of like, wow, that was surprising. Like, and I think even that night, our first show, some people came up to us afterwards and were like, hey, we were just like walking down the street and we heard it and it was really cool. Like, and that was cool to hear, like, oh, like people were drawn into the room because of it, which was awesome. Yeah.
That's really all you can ask for. That's awesome. Yeah. So you get to play the Connor Byrne, and then fast forward, you know, so fast forward a bunch of years, the pandemic happens. Was this EP, this new EP, which is called Help Yourself, was this written during the pandemic or did you have these songs before?
We had, Matt can elaborate maybe if he knows better, but I think we had a lot of it done before and we were, you know, talking about doing it, and then we just did it during the pandemic. But I think most of the songs had been written just before, right?
It's probably like 50-50. Like, I think we had some of the songs we had, like Little Thief, like, I don't know for which songs we're going to go through, but Little Thief, that song was like one of the first riffs that, you know, we kind of wrote back actually in Connecticut. And it kind of just, we actually recorded it too for our first EP. And it just wasn't ready and we just shelved it and we re-recorded it for the new EP and got it right. But we had some riffs that were kind of already in development, but we were playing that live, like Girl Named Place, we were playing live. But like, what are the other ones that like we kind of, like Runaway was kind of a newer one that we wrote that Dance With Me was something that was newer that we hadn't played live. But we were like working them live a bit. So it was like 50-50, but a lot of the work, like heavy lifting, was definitely done during the pandemic of like, okay, like we actually have to go record these. Like let's get into it. Like, what are we keeping? What's not going to be, you know, recorded? Cause you really, like when you start going to a studio, you got to know what you're doing. Like we didn't have the you know, the means or the resources to just kind of work it out in the studio. It's sure. Like we had to go in, we were ready, you know. We knew exactly, and we record on tape live, which is really cool. So
it is cool.
Yeah, so that was another thing where like we gotta be tight.
So that's not something that is necessary these days, recording on tape live. Is that something you guys specifically do, you know, just you know, kind of like a throwback sound, or is that something that they do at London Bridge specifically? Or why is that? Because so many bands, it's so easy to do it, you know, with the Pro Tools and stuff. But you know, you guys must have a reason for your madness.
I think part of it was that throwback sound a little bit, sure. And also just Jonathan, who helped us out, our producer, with, I'm sure we'll talk about more. I think that was partly his idea too, just based off of our first EP was done more to a click and kind of broke it up into pieces. And then just, you know, we're pretty tight when we play live. So just, you know, his suggestion that it would sound cool.
And, it was like to capture the energy of
the
music. Like they're just, you can just feel the difference of like the live. Yeah, it just feels like, you feel the difference. And it's just more our sound, like when
the type of songs they are kind of lend itself to sounding good like that. There's because we're most of them are just, you know, we're three piece and there's not a whole lot more that would need to be added after. And
And like our first stuff is like, you know, I'm proud of it. And I'm happy with like how it turned out. But I think this new EP really captures what, you know, Bad Honey's sound is. And like, if you were to be at a show, that's what it sounds like. Like
the energy.
That's the show. Yeah, that's like the sound. Because like just the, yeah, I mean, just the guitar itself is like, I play guitar, like I said, is, you know, that's the sound. And that, we didn't really capture that, I think, as much in the first EP. Because I play an old like 65 Silvertone that's, you know, I didn't really use on the first EP because it was just kind of, it's unruly and it's very noisy. And it's like, if I get handed to someone, it just goes crazy and it's got a lot of feedback. And like, there's like a special way to play it to keep it
under
control. But also it's like really nice to have that. Like, I remember the first time I played it at the guitar store, it just like went nuts. And the guitar guy was just, the sales guy was like, see what I mean? I was like, yeah, this is cool. He's just like, it just has, it's a life of its own. Hmm. And it really, I think Jonathan captured that super well. You know, actually could go
back. Harness it, dude.
Yeah, yeah. You guys could go back. We did a live stream of the recording off London. If you go to London Bridge's Facebook, there's back in a year or so ago. They have the live stream of us recording it, which is pretty cool. So, but yeah, there's very little overdubs on it. It's besides the vocals and some guitar solo stuff. That's pretty much it's us playing in a room, you know, in the live room, which is sweet. Yeah.
That is cool. That's really awesome. Right on. Well, we're actually going to go into a song here. We mentioned Little Thief. So that's the song we're going to go into. And did you guys want to say anything about this song? Anything you want to say to introduce it?
It's your riff. You can take that.
This song was, so like you said, this was like the first riff we kind of wrote, one of the first riffs we wrote. And it was originally in E. And it was great in E, but it had a different vibe. And it's actually in drop D, which kind of gives it its own kind of thing. And it's really like, you can kind of hear the gritty kind of deep element of that drop D that it hits. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, that once we found that, like when it went to drop D, it was just like, okay, this is cool. And
nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's a cool song. It's one of my favorite ones we got.
All right, right on. Well, here it is. The Bad Honey with the song called Little Thief from their EP Help Yourself. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. We'll be right back. This is Loud and Local. The band is Bad Honey. Little Thief is the name of the song. And the album is Help Yourself, now available. You can stream it. You can purchase the album. Are you guys going to be playing any shows coming up shortly around after the holidays? Or?
Yeah.
Awesome. What do you got?
Let me double check the date on here. January 21st at Drunkies Two Shoes Barbecue down in White Center.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're excited about that one.
That'll be cool. Right on. You get to eat plenty of great food after you play.
Yes.
not before though.
No, I can't eat before a show, man.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, and this is a question I like to ask, and even if it's embarrassing, if it's embarrassing, it's even better. What's the first album, physical album, you purchased on your own with your own money? Well, like via CD or tape or vinyl or whatever it may be. When you were a kid, what was the first piece of music you purchased on your own?
Do you have an answer for that, Chris?
I remember my first
was vinyl. No doubt Tragic Kingdom, so no shame here.
Oh, man. Well, I used to...
You go.
I was going to say, I didn't... My first, like, kind of... I can't think of the first album I purchased, but I can think of when I used to... I don't know if I can say... I used to...
Napster download?
Yeah, LimeWire. LimeWire. And I would make, like, the albums that I wanted, like the Beatles album, or like I'd make like Let It Be, or I'd make like Zeppelin 4, and I would have it in the order, and like I'd burn a CD, and then that's like how I guess I stole music instead of buying. My first stolen album was the Led Zeppelin 4, probably.
but the audio quality on each MP3 would be totally different.
It was not up to standard right. For sure, but like I would say probably like, or it's like Black Sabbath was probably one of those. Yeah, I can't think of the first actual album I purchased. Yeah.
I don't remember what the first thing I purchased was. I remember getting into vinyl moving out here, but when I was a kid, I remember having a little like Walkman or CD player or whatever, and I would have like the Beatles hits and whatever, is it just Paradise City? Whatever Guns N' Roses album has that. Yeah. I would listen to that.
Appetite for Destruction. Yeah.
I couldn't think of it. Yeah, I had that CD. I was obsessed with that one.
Nice.
I just have these vivid memories of carrying that around and listening to it over and over again. Yeah.
So, Matthew, you were the first person to pick up an instrument, and then, you kind of got Chris into playing the drums. Matthew, what was your inspiration to start playing music? Like, what was, was there a band, or did you come from a musical family?
There's some music in my family, but I would say my dad was the one that kind of like he doesn't play music, but he loves music and he's a huge rock fan. Mm-hmm. Like, he brought me to my first concert, which was an Aerosmith concert when I was like 12 years old.
Okay.
It was awesome. But he just kind of like, he was always just listening to, classic rock music and I was just around it all the time. And I picked it up, and then there's music in my family, but like my parents are not musically gifted. My siblings are not necessarily, like my sister, she can sing, but she doesn't try to do it. But anyways, I don't know. I think what it was, and also my really good friend had bought a guitar, and I just was like drawn to it. Yeah. And I just like picked it up, and I would just be I played it just more than he did. And eventually I must have said something to my dad, and he bought me like this Ibanez like starter guitar kit that came with like a little amp, and I just like the first night I got it for my birthday, and I'm sure this is every guitar player when they first started, played Smoke on the Water all night. And then my dad was really like very supportive of that, like me playing guitar, and I would say that was like the first kind of experience. And I just love playing. I played trumpet like, and I kind of in school, and like had some music experience. I used to be able to read music and all that kind of stuff, and then I kind of dropped it for a while, and it wasn't really till like college, I was going through this breakup, of course, it's and then I was with my ex at the time, and she's like, we got in this fight, and she's like, this guy that she was interested in or whatever, it was like, he plays the drums. And I was like, I can play an instrument. That's not a big deal. So I went and like bought an acoustic guitar and picked it back up.
Yeah.
And just from there, I just like fell in love with it again. And was just like, oh, I got it. Like, and then I was past that of like, this is for me now. and just kept playing. And it was kind of just like, you know, reignited the spark of that music passion that I really did have when I was like younger. I really loved it and just really loved music.
That's awesome. Right on, man. And Chris, now that you've, you know, been playing drums for so long, what are some of your inspirations as far as like other drummers that you kind of look up to for inspiration?
Yeah. There's a decent story about that too. When I first started, like I would just scour through YouTube lessons and all that, but I definitely gravitated towards, I think this is what I liked as a kid too, just drumming along to Jimi Hendrix, anything, and then Led Zeppelin and all that. But yeah, like Mitch Mitchell, and then Deep Purple is another big influence, Ian Pace. So those, I mean, he's probably the guy I follow and then, you know, kind of mess around and practice all those old licks too, the most still. But then I got super into it. I found this band maybe like a year into my playing. It was the first time I found Rival Sons.
Yeah.
Who have always been my, you know,
saw
since
them with
then.
Black Sabbath.
Yeah. So
they were good.
You saw that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw them actually here like maybe a month ago.
Oh, wow.
They were in town. They were at the Showbox just not too long ago. But yeah. So yeah. And then, so I've been just going off of their stuff forever. And then over the pandemic, like so many musicians did, I got to actually link up with their drummer for lessons. I did a whole,
oh, that's awesome.
I was really lucky to do a bunch of Zoom lessons like this. It was a few months though, like leading up to our album. And a really good thing I got from him was just confidence, stage presence, all these things to go like straight into the recording, which helped a lot. That definitely helped my performance in the studio or how I felt about it. So yeah, that was pretty like little surreal moment at first. I was like, oh man, I gotta meet this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Those are the big influences though, for sure.
That's awesome, man. Right on. Well, that's huge then, you know, like there's, you know, I'm not going to say, obviously, you know, when you say, talk about the pandemic, there's like horrific and horrible things, but like there are silver linings and everything. And one of the good things is that, you know, so many people are kind of at home. And so you have to, and so so many people are available for things like that. And that was the perfect opportunity, you know, going into recording this new album that you got to, you know, learn from a kind of a musical hero of yours.
Yeah, that was, I was very lucky. It was pretty surreal. So yeah, there, you know, it was a good thing that came out of all the bad stuff going on, but.
Exactly. Yeah. So now that you guys are a Northwest band, you know, been here for what, 6-7 years now?
Yeah, I think this is our, well, I guess fifth. This is going to six, I think. Going six, to yeah. Sixth year. Yeah.
So being that you're here, home base, Northwest band, what is your favorite or favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Ooh.
It could be a couple or just one. It could be a current band or, you know, a band that's long gone. Just, you know, what are some of your favorite Northwest artists?
I mean, I hate this. I mean, I don't hate to say it, but I mean, Nirvana, man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and Nirvana's. I've always loved Nirvana.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what I was gonna say. I think it's something different, but
I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. Yeah. That's what's super cool about being at London Bridge. I was like, 10 was recorded here, and I was like, this is really like, I was just super excited. I love 10. I mean, that's a great album. Right.
Yeah, the scale kind of shifted that way for me a little bit too, just after recording at London Bridge. Yeah, definitely towards Pearl Jam.
I saw Pearl Jam live when I used to have this job where I was the beer guy walking around with the tray of beers at like concerts, and I got to work a Pearl Jam concert, and I was so pumped about
it. In Connecticut,
yeah. They came through, and I was so pumped about it. I didn't even work. I just went to the front and literally just was like in the show the whole time.
And some guys are like, give me a beer, sir. And you're like, hold on. Singing along to Even Flow, bro.
There's a good part coming up.
Because I could go anywhere I wanted because I was like, oh, I'm selling the beer. So I went right up to the front, and it was awesome. Yeah, they were great.
Matthew, how many beers did you sell tonight? Don't worry about it.
but I saw Eddie.
Exactly.
I got close to Eddie.
Exactly. The sing-alongs were Jeremy, man. They were epic. Right on, man. Well, okay. So again, your show's coming up here in, what was it? January 21st, you said?
Yep. Yeah. That's the next one.
At Drunky Two Shoes. Right on, man. Well, we're going to actually go into the song called Girl Named Place.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you guys tell me about this one?
I can talk about this one a little bit. Yeah.
Cool.
So this one's just kind of like our story song, I guess. Try and tell a little story with not a whole lot to it. It's somewhat 10% accurate historically. I remember this is one that we kind of tend to write the songs like 60-40, 50-50. So, you know, each one has, you know, someone did the riff. Like I know I did the riff for this, then he did the chorus and then the words. But yeah, this, the name, like Girl Named Place, it was just based off of me thinking some of the song reminded me of some, there could be some cool Western shootout story in there, just based off the instrumentals. Yeah. Got me thinking about some outlaw women. And Etta Place was the one that I found. It was a real person.
Okay.
What was, you know, who she was affiliated with? Do you remember who?
I believe it was with, I think it's Butch Cassidy. I think, but basically it's Etta Place was a real person that was like, she was part of the outlaw group that, you know, they got away with and never got caught. There's not really much like history of her specifics, but we basically took that and ran with it. It was like, okay, let's come up with our own little story about this kind of outlaw woman. And
hopefully the riff is cool enough to carry it the rest of the way.
Very Western. And we're just like, okay, let's just, you know, hang with this kind of vibe. And that's kind of what came out. So it's, you know, there's speculation, of course, but it is based off of a real person at a place. And then just like, you don't hear those type of songs. So it was cool to like highlight like a female kind of lead, badass, you know.
He took some artistic freedom with it. Don't worry.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we're not getting points for accuracy on
here. The Girl Named Place here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. The band is Bad Honey. EP is Help Yourself. They're playing January 21st at Drunky Two Shoes. You can catch this song live. We'll be back here with Loud and Local with more from Bad Honey.
A two-tone pistol in her hand. Leave behind a trail of red. You mess with her, you wind up dead. They'll take everything that you own. Make sure you ain't coming home. Sound an empty shoe is all they found. story just in case you come across a loud name place.
Name place here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. We got Bad Honey, and we're not in studio. We're hanging out via Zoom. This is the new studio. This is the way we're doing things. And we have the way we have for quite a while. You have the nice setup there, Matthew. You've got, do you teach lessons from home, or what's your home setup?
Well, I work in film production.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm a freelance film producer in town, so I kind of, I get my hands on some gear, but I also, this is how I practice. Like I do everything through the computer. So like I'll have, this is one of the mics I sing on. This is actually the same mic. I think we got the same one. Yeah,
we do. Yeah.
Yeah. That we record the album.
SM57.
Or SM7B, right?
Yes, that's right. SM7.
Yeah, there is a SM57. that's a different, but anyways, we record the album. This is what the vocal mic that we use, but, same type, but so I do, that's how I kind of practice, and I have some gear and things like that, and I actually, that's how I play the guitar through the computer as well, just because it's like, I don't bother my neighbors kind of thing. But we have a rehearsal space that we actually practice at.
Are you able to mention any films or shows that you've helped produce?
Well, I've worked on a lot of different stuff. I would say recently I worked on this show, I don't know if Fear Thy Neighbor. It's a Discovery TV show. I'm not actually super familiar with it, but it's basically about like these neighbors that, and they're true crime stories that like feud, and then someone ends up getting murdered. And I was the cinematographer on that, which some interviews. We went up to like Whidbey Island and did some interviews. But
wow.
Yeah, mostly, I mostly do like commercial type, working with businesses and stuff. I worked on some films, like one more recent was this movie called The Stairs. It's like this horror movie that was shot around here. Not a ton of narratives that happen in Seattle, but it's like obviously a lot of businesses. So I just did a project actually with Mackie last week, the audio company. So yeah, I just, kind of bounce around doing different things. So
awesome. How long have you been in that field?
This will be my, I guess, my fourth year, going to my fourth year, doing it freelance full time. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's not a bad life, and then get to play music, and yeah, it's not bad, man.
We got an IOTSI guy here. Awesome. Right on. Well, so my question here for you is, how do we support you guys? If we can't come out to the show on the January 21st, what's the best way we can support Bad Honey?
Well, you could follow us on Instagram. That helps. Like us on Facebook, where it's Bad Honey Band is our Instagram, and then just in Bad Honey for Facebook. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, buy our music on Apple and on iTunes. We don't have any physical CDs or anything yet, but
working on the merch.
And check us out and follow us. It does help artists to follow them, and people do care about that. So it's nice to, just keep things, just check us out and just see our stuff. And Spotify too, we've been having some good traction on Spotify lately. We got on a couple, playlists and that was helpful. And that's,
put us in your workout playlist.
Yeah. Yes.
It'll be good for that.
Get you pumped. Yeah. Just listening to us, man, any opportunity you can. And then coming out to shows is always awesome. But, we understand if people don't feel comfortable with that, you can support us by just listening to music.
Yeah. Honestly, the way we started, it's still kind of crazy that anyone's besides our parents are listening to this stuff. It's oh, this is great. I'll take that.
It's finally safe to say that it's not just my dad listening.
Yeah. Nice.
Which I appreciate it, Dad. Love you. Yeah. I think just going out and just listening to local music and trying to just get out there and support it. And also venues, support the venues, man. We lost a lot, and just going out to shows if you can, and the venue they really need it right now, because it was a tough year obviously for them, and we want to support them too by playing shows and giving them business and opportunities and stuff, because it's Seattle, man. This is a music town. Let's keep it that way,
Indeed. Yeah. Right on, man. Well, again, January 21st at Drunky Two Shoes. You can catch some of these songs live. The EP is called Help Yourself. We're going to go into the title track. Any final words for the Northwest Loud and Local audience?
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And thank you so much for having us, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Long live rock and roll.
I like it. Right on.
Let's hear it.
Help Yourself off the album. Help Yourself. By Bad Honey. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. I'm down on my knees. Please come and take these troubles away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.